When people think of the phrase walk of life, they typically refer to someone's position in life, what type of job they have, or socioeconomic status. You know, how much money they make, their net worth. You'll hear them say, you'll often hear people say, we brought people together from all walks of life. I like to think about it more of an individual concept that's about our personal journey through life. You know, what we experience, the choices we make, how we interact and learn from each other. And each one of us has this journey we have to take. And it's always good to hear stories how people have navigated their way through life, hearing about their wins and their losses. Well, there's a podcast that does that. It does just that for us. And it's one that I listen to on a regular basis. Joining us on this episode of Let's Coach with Carolyn is podcast host Walker Neer, the host of The Walk Show, a podcast that explores the walk of life. We're going to jump into his head a little bit, and I hope that's safe, but we're going to talk to him and get his insights on how to have more fun in life, and we're going to discuss life as he knows it. But before we do, hello and good evening, afternoon, or morning, wherever you may be, whenever you're listening to this. My name is Carolyn Owens, and I'm the host of Let's Coach, and welcome back. Let's Coach is the show that brings the best from the coaching world for you to use in your everyday life. And we talk about what coaching can do for you. We bring you some great small business ideas and some good news stories, and stories about people who are paying it forward in their everyday lives. Now, when I'm not hosting this show, I serve to help you up-level your skills so you can up-level your income, your career, your life, or your business. You can find out more about me by going to what I call my Connection Hub, where you can find all my social media profiles, website, blog, every way you would want to connect with me. And you go to CarolynOwens360.com. Now, our guest today is Walker Neer, the host of The Walk Show. And Walker has been sharing stories with people since before he could speak. And he's dabbled in stand-up all throughout his life. His podcast has great variety in both topics and guests, with music baked into the episodes. He's interviewed entrepreneurs, authors, coaches, fathers, mothers, friends, comedians, and everything in between. He likes to talk to people about their interests and passions, and people have told him he's easy to talk to and comfortable to open up to. Well, we're going to find out just how true that is. So let's give a warm Let's Coach welcome to Walker Neer. Hi, Walker.
Hey, Carolyn. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Now, you also have, and I know you host, you're a podcast host, but you also have what they call that day job. How do you serve when you're not recording the podcast?
You say, what am I doing when I'm not recording the podcast?
How do you make your income other than the podcasting?
Yeah, I work for a corporation that makes software for financial institutions. So it's not really that interesting. it's boring bank people doing stuff. No, but I kid, and if anyone that works at a bank that I work with hears that, I don't mean that really. I do project management, so I'm not actually on the developer side of it. I'm more of the person that tries to hold things together and keep people, you know, on track with their projects and that sort of stuff. Came from a background of working in call centers, so have just done customer service for most of my adult life. Took a little period at one point where I worked in restaurants as a cook, but that's not the life for me. So pretty quickly got out of it.
And it's funny you say, because there's a particular, where my son is actually going to school, that's the ultimate goal, is for him to be oversee the projects that are in the gaming industry that are being made. There's, you know, it's all the different steps, and that's what he eventually wants to do, is to be able to pull all the pieces together in terms of making any animation or video games. That's his ultimate goal, is to be over those projects. So I know some of the stuff that he's learning does go, like, I'm not techie at all. So it goes like, uh-huh, okay. But it's so, it is cool and interesting to see, all right, here's what he's evolved to and is developing. So it's a great world for those who can do it. But for me, I'm like, okay, thank you. I'm glad you can do it, because without it, I wouldn't be able to do what I need to do.
Sure, sure. So, yeah, project management's – oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that project management's an interesting skill set because it's something that's transferable across industries. So, again, like, yeah, I work in, you know, financial software world, but I actually hope to maybe someday transition over to a video game company or something, because it's a skill set that's not necessarily unique to an industry as much as it's just really transferable, I guess, is the easiest way to say it. So that's great if that's what your son's learning to do at Full Sail. I know we had talked about him whenever we'd met several months ago, and that's a great direction to go in, I think.
Yes, that's his ultimate goal. A lot of prayer over that one, that he, because some of those classes are tough.
Yeah, no, oof. I bet.
But then why podcasting? I mean, what led you to start your show?
So I'm a huge podcast fan. I listen to podcasts pretty regularly. When I get up in the morning and shower and all that and get ready, I have a Bluetooth speaker and I turn it on and connect my phone to it and usually play the New York Times Daily podcast to start the morning. So literally start my day with podcast listening. I was an avid listener, and then it was kind of a few events that kind of led to it. So I had one friend. It turns out that I'm subject to flattery. So if anyone would like to say anything nice to me, I'm very open to that. But no, so I had a friend that came to me, and she was like, I think you should start a podcast. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, about what? Like, I'm not an expert on anything, and I'm not some high level performer at anything. So I don't know what I would talk about. And there's another podcast that's a bit more successful than mine, and that's an understatement. that's called the Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard, who's an actor. But anyway, it's Armchair Expert because he, you know, it's like it's a play on like Armchair Quarterback, where he's not really an expert and he's just kind of talking to people, you know. And so she referenced that podcast, and she was like, the reason that his show is so good is because he is very, there's a vulnerability to him when he explains how he thinks about things and how he sees the world. And she was like, and you have that vulnerability to you naturally. Like, that's how you just talk to people. So I don't think it really matters what the show's about. I just think you should do it, and I think that it will resonate. So that was very flattering. So that was the first feather in my cap. And then really the thing, the day that I actually ordered all the equipment and said, fine, we're doing it, was actually an opposite kind of experience. It was an experience where at work, at the day job that we talked about, I basically had spent a lot of time on an idea and had went and recruited other people to make sure they were on board with the idea, and they all were, and so I had gotten buy-in, and then we took it to the upper management, and they dismissed it out of hand very, very quickly. And that really bothered me. I got really, really upset that day, and I decided that, you know what, I'm going to start something where I can put all of myself into it, and no one else can tell me no. And no one else can dismiss it like that. Now, clearly, people could not listen to my show, but I don't know. As far as I know, they never knew about it, right? So I was just like, I'm gonna start something that I own entirely and that's my thing. And like you said at the beginning of, you know, in the introduction, there's a picture of me when I'm 2 years old standing on a table, which is not appropriate, but. Standing on the dinner table with my family and like my, it's like Thanksgiving, and I'm telling stories. I can't believe I could even complete sentences at that point. You know what I mean? So, I'm just naturally a talkative person. I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy connecting with people. I enjoy exploring ideas. And Yeah, after being flattered and then upset, I decided to go ahead and go for it. And I had no idea what I was doing. I'd never recorded anything like that before. I've done stand-up comedy before, but there's no recording there, and I'm not responsible for setting any of that up. I just show up at a venue and go on stage. So yeah, I just kind of went for it, and here we are now.
And it's funny because the first time we met in person, that's exactly what it was. You just started talking. It was like, "Hey, how you doing?" And they were, I was like, "Wow,
well,
he's so nice."
Well, I will shout out our mutual friend Jameson Smallwood, who hosts the Culture and Conversations podcast, which everyone should totally go check out as well.
Yes.
Yeah, you were sitting with him, and I just thought you knew him. So I'm really comfortable with Jameson. So I just inserted myself into that conversation, but it turns out you had just met him recently as well. So I'm just kind of rude. Is the conclusion of this?
No, I thought it was pretty cool. It's like, okay, because I didn't know anybody, and then you guys
Sure.
were like the first people I actually kind of talked to and conversated with. And we were at the PodFest conference there in Florida, and
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it so much. I'm sure it was your second time being there, my first. And it was just a great experience to be able to meet people like you and Jameson and learn so much about what this podcasting world is all about. And for you, you actually have two podcasts.
Yeah, so I started the Walk Show in January of 2019. So I've only been going for a little over a year, but I started in January 2019. And something that your son and I have in common is we're both huge fans of video games. I love video games. I spend a lot of my free time playing video games and reading about video games and whatever. And so the Walk Show, as you said, is it's about the walk of life. And that's my initial podcast that I started. And so I want to talk about any and everything. I wanted to also talk about video games. The problem is that I'm so passionate about gaming that it's very easy for me to talk about it at a level that doesn't make sense unless you're also really, really into it, And so I had a lot of my listeners telling me that they felt kind of alienated by those episodes because they didn't understand what it was about, and it didn't resonate with them. And it wasn't that they thought it was dumb or, it wasn't anything derogatory. It was just, they're not able to follow the conversation. Because the rest of my topics are much broader than that, at least to me, because I don't know anything about anything, right, except video games. So so I decided, I had another friend who had been on the Walk Show a few times and had done a couple of gaming episodes with me, and he had talked previously about wanting to start a show. So I hit him up and said, "Hey, what would you think about starting a podcast that's all about gaming? And just you and I, and just be a separate thing from the Walk Show entirely." And so we decided to do that. And so we recorded some episodes, and we launched the Pick Up Your Sticks podcast, which is all about gaming, all about video games. And the tagline for it is "Why Gaming Matters." So while it is dedicated to video games as kind of the theme, if you will, we really try and touch on the emotional connections that we've had with gaming. So we don't just do news and reviews or current events. I mean, we certainly talk about those things, but we try and really relate to like why it matters to us, because gaming often is looked at like it's a toy, like it's like you're talking about Legos or something. And it's like, no, like it's equivalent, in my opinion, to movies or TV shows or books or whatever other entertainment medium you want, where there's such a variety of experiences now that I think there's something for everyone. And yeah, there's dumb video games that don't have any real deep significance, but there are movies like that, so just because some games are like that doesn't invalidate all games, just like some movies are like that doesn't invalidate all movies. Anyway, I've ranted too long now, but yeah,
no,
so Pick Up Your Sticks is my second show.
It's funny because when you're talking about how some people see it as a toy, when I want to like irritate my son or kind of nag him a bit, I'll be like, "You're got your toys," that his game systems are just, those are toys. And he's like, it's not a toy. Okay. Like, yes, it is. And so,
right.
And so I was sitting here thinking, yeah, a lot of people, and for him, who's like you said, he's like you, he's into the gaming, very serious about it and stuff. And so when you say something like it's not, it's really a big industry out there. And I know there are other podcasters who talk about gaming, but you said that emotional attachment and having to separate your, you know, different audiences and stuff. And I think when we think about, you know, there's a lot of people who listen to the show here who are, you know, small business owners, authors, in whatever we do, we got to think about who our audience is. You know, who are we really
mm-hmm.
trying to reach? You know, but when with
mm-hmm.
podcasting, what's your goal? What do you want to see happen for you?
That's a tall order. I mean, you know, if I could get to a point where I could do podcasting full time and didn't have to explain what my day job was, you know, I would love that. And that was another part of the reason that I started Pick Up Your Sticks. So the Walk Show, I mean, again, obviously my name's Walker. The name of it is the Walk Show. It's the most vain thing I could have come up with. So I like to be flattered, and I'm already naturally vain. So please just come to me. But no, the Walk Show is, and it doesn't have a theme, right? Except it does exploring the walk of life, but it's not there. You don't know what you're going to get week to week. I mean, again, sometimes I have, you know, entrepreneurs or authors, or sometimes
mm-hmm.
I had a guy that, you know, actually Brent Basham, recorded with me a few weeks ago. And we talked for, you know, over 2 hours about The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, because that was a book that really resonated with him. It's a book that's been on my radar, but I haven't read. And that was a really fascinating conversation. I'm excited to get to put that episode out, you know. So, but then I also did an episode, my father, and I don't mean to be too heavy, but my father passed away in 2004. And he and I were exceptionally close. I mean, we were best friends from, you know, from the jump. And so that was really devastating for me, but it's something that I have learned a lot of lessons from and have
mm-hmm.
come a long way since then. And so my sister, I have an older sister, and she was actually willing and gracious enough to come be on my show. And we did an episode where we talked about my dad's life and then also talked about his passing and how we kind of dealt with that and what it meant to us. That doesn't have anything to do with business, you know what I mean? But I want to be able to do that episode if I want to, you know? So the Walk Show is very much it's my own creative free space. If I could get it to a place where I had hundreds of thousands or millions of listeners or whatever the number is that makes it so
the
it's
magic
a
number.
Paycheck that's livable. Yeah, I don't know. then that'd be great. But I don't want to try and pigeonhole it, because I didn't realize how much I was missing a creative outlet until I started the podcast. And then it was just like, oh man, like I got to have this. So, you know, like I say that there's music baked into every episode. Well, it's kind of weird how I do it. I've never heard it on another show. I talk,
mm-hmm.
I have a guest and we talk for 15, 20 minutes and then bam, you get about a 30 seconds to a minute of music. And there's music that plays under the conversation. But then it goes back into the show. Is that actually a good thing, having that music in there like that? I don't know. Again, I've never heard it in any other podcast, so you could argue no, it doesn't make sense. But one of my lifelong best friends is, I think, a very talented musician, has made 8 albums or something like that over his life. And he offered to let me use his music for my show, and I really like it, so that's how I do it, you know? Anyway, this is such a long-winded answer. See how I like to talk? This is, I mean, man, you signed up for it tonight. Anyway, so with Pick Up Your Sticks, part of the idea was that it's a much more niche thing, right? It's specific.
Mm-hmm.
It's about gaming. The title is not my name. The logo is like a real logo, which the Walk Show now has a real logo. But before you met me, the Walk Show logo used to be a picture of me in a samurai Halloween costume that I have. You know what I mean? Like,
I never saw that one.
No, I fixed it before I went to PodFest this year. But it was, you know, so that was the other thing, was that the Pick Up Your Sticks is kind of my attempt to, like, follow all of the advice of the podcast gurus and make it niche, make it themed, make it a title that, you know, maybe is related to the genre, that kind of stuff.
It's funny because I don't see you as a I'm going to be completely in the box and follow the rules kind of guy at all.
Right.
So that's why I fully get, you know, the walk of life is that creative expression. And I think that's such a great way to describe, you know, part of why we do podcasts is be able to talk about issues and things that people don't get to hear about, you know, and I prefer audio over video, but you just see that you know, it's things that people may be thinking about, but they don't either know how to express it or say it, or, you know, they won't talk about it. And to hear it, it's like, oh, wow, I'm not alone. Somebody else is going through this. Or, yeah, that is a tip or strategy that they can use. And you meet some amazing people when you do this.
Yeah, so at PodFest 2019, the first year I went, the keynote speaker, it's a guy named Pat Flynn, who may be familiar to your listeners. He's a very popular podcaster, but I think his podcast is like Smart Passive Income. I've never heard of it until I met him, or didn't meet him, but until I saw him at PodFest. But he was the keynote speaker, and his speech was, the idea of it was, you should keep with podcasting because you never know where it will take you. And and now he is, again, wildly successful. So for him, he's like been in movies and stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
Way crazier than me, but still, like, and I don't mean to just keep talking about my show endlessly, but like I had I have a girl that I know, or a woman now that I know, that I grew up with. I was in kindergarten with her. Right. And then went all through high school with her and all of that. But then I you know, we fell out of contact like people do, not because of any problem. I graduated with 500 kids or something. I don't know all of them,
wow.
You know? And so when all this COVID-19 pandemic stuff started, a friend of mine and I recorded a podcast about it. Well, she commented on it that she's actually living in Shanghai, China now and during the whole COVID outbreak. And so I asked her, well, hey, would you be interested in coming on the show? And she did. And it's an episode that's out there now. But, you know, the opportunity to talk to someone who's – I'm from Springfield, Missouri, which is, you know, any town USA, right? So to know a person from there who lives in China to begin with is pretty wild to me. But that they live there during the pandemic, like, that's super interesting. And I personally, I really enjoyed the conversation I had with her. I thought she was a tremendous guest. I thought she was a blast to talk to. But if I didn't have the podcast, I probably don't get to talk to her, you know? And,
right.
And not because she's mean, but because why would we, you know? Like, we haven't connected for the last however 20 years or whatever it's been anyway. So why would we have connected now? Well, we wouldn't have. But the podcast created that avenue for that. And so I got to have this really cool conversation with the person that I otherwise wouldn't have. And that's true. I mean, I wouldn't know you if I hadn't have gone to PodFest, which I only did because I started a podcast, you know? So even though I haven't been in movies like that guy, I have to agree that I just find that it constantly enriches my life. So I just, even though, and I, to be clear, I make $0 podcasting. It's a hobby that I pay for. But I really love it. I'm shocked constantly at how excited I am by doing it. So, your original question was, where do I want it to go? Well, if it could pay the bills, I think that'd be great. I don't know if that's going to happen or not though. And I refuse to change what my passion is just to try and eke out a dollar from it, because if it turns out that it's not good enough that anyone would ever, you know, that enough people would listen that I would be paid for it, then that's fine. Because I would still rather it be what I wanted it to be, you know.
So for you, it's straight from the heart, because it's not about the money. Because you see a lot of people who want to get into podcasting thinking that they're going to make all this money. But it's also work that goes into it. You know, tonight we had I had trouble trying to connect and being able to do this show tonight, and it was a little frustrating because I've been, you know, waiting for a chance to interview you and everything, and you know, those are things that happen with podcasting and scheduling guests, and a guest doesn't show up, or you know, having to plan it and editing for some people. I typically don't edit my shows, but there's a lot. You still have to get it on the different platforms and what photos you want to use and coordinating. So it does take work, and I think that's one of the things I've seen a lot of people who will, they'll start one, and then, you know, they disappear. They just have a couple of episodes out there, and then since we, I wasn't there in 2019, but to hear them say, hear him saying, like, keep going with it, that's kind of inspiring for the different things we even think about doing on our walk of life. You know, like, if people want to quit just before, what's the book, it's 3 feet from gold,
yeah,
you're so close, and then they kind of walk away from something, and it, I think it's more sincerity when you're doing it the way you're doing it, you know it's just a straight pure way of working with people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, well, because the walk show doesn't have a clear demographic, because there's not a clear category or
right.
topic to the show, when I was first starting it and trying to learn about how to market and everything, everyone's like, well, who's your ideal listener? Who's your specific target? Like, you should be able to describe what they look like, where they work, what they, you know, and it was like, well, I don't know who that is, because there's one section of people who probably thinks it's interesting to listen to an author talk about their book or whatever. But then there's a totally different section of people that want to listen to the episode I did where me and a close buddy of mine talked about the Matrix trilogy, the Matrix movies, because we're
huge
fans of those.
I have to find that one. I've heard
yeah.
about that one. I do listen to a lot of your shows, but that's an older one that I missed that I got to go find.
Yeah, it's called In Defense of the Matrix. So,
okay.
But anyway, well, now I lost where I was going with that. I'm sorry. I don't know what I had said to begin with, but I don't know. Either way, I don't remember now what I was going to say, so I'm sorry. Welcome
well,
to live,
know, but,
live radio.
What do you listen to as a podcaster? What are some of the shows?
Oh, man. I am the most what is it called? Is it basic? I'm like a basic bitch, right? Like I don't know if I'm supposed to curse. I'm so sorry. I'm like the stereotypical white girl who drinks Starbucks every morning and goes to, you know, the mall after work or something. Like I listen to Joe Rogan and Bill Simmons primarily, which are two of the most popular podcasters
yeah.
out there. So, I mean, Bill Simmons last October said that year to date they were at 200 million downloads.
200 million downloads of a podcast?
I mean, yeah. And then he has a network. That's just one show. That's just one show. Anyway, but I honestly, Joe Rogan, I don't know if you've ever listened to his show or are familiar with it, but he is actually a huge inspiration for how I do the walk show, because he's the same thing. He doesn't have the music and he has access to celebrities and that sort of stuff, but every episode is different. You never know
yeah.
what you're going to get when you get Joe Rogan. And that's the most popular show. So I was like, well, everyone at PodFest will tell me that I'm crazy for doing a show like I'm doing, but I don't know, the guy who's beating all of you's doing it like this. So I don't know.
And it's funny. You did tell me about him at PodFest, and I remember I had said something where they were trying to say you got to do certain things and rules. I can't remember what it exactly was, and you had said to me, no, Joe Rogan does it differently, where he has more freedom in what he does. He doesn't put himself with all these limits, and he was able
yep.
to be very successful that way. And I'm like, you know,
right.
I didn't – but I felt better after you said it, because I was like, I didn't want to be so structured and by such rules, because I don't always do my show at the same time. You know, I don't always
right.
do it on the same day. But people are they're listening to it. And they're finding it. And I thank everybody that's taking time out their day to listen. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. But that was one of the things you did. You did share with me at PodFest about not having to be put in, you know, such structured rules that I had to find out what was going to be best for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, the truth of PodFest is that, and this is not meant to be disparaging at all. The vast majority of people who are at PodFest, and I mean, I could make up a number like 90%, but I don't actually know the number. But whatever, we'll just say a significant majority of people who are at PodFest do podcasting in service of another business exclusively, and they don't do it because they're interested. It's just another marketing tool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which again, I'm not knocking that. That's awesome. If you've already got a different business and the podcasting can help you grow that, all the more power to you. I'm not mad at that at all. But as I've described with both of the shows that I'm doing, they're not that. There is no other brand. They're their own thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the advice and a lot of the ways that things are looked at PodFest just don't really apply to me because I don't have another thing that I'm hoping to drive them to. And I think, and to be clear, again, I'm not disparaging it. I think the information at PodFest is terrific. And I think that especially if you are going into podcasting as another avenue of an existing business, then, man, you can get so much great insight there.
Right.
And I even get great insight from my own position. But I'm doing an entertainment show, and there's not a lot of podcasters there that are doing entertainment shows.
No, I did. I learned a whole lot at PodFest, and I, you know, the friends I made from it. There's about five of you guys that I really keep in touch with now, and you know, we support each other. We see what each other's doing, whatever. And we, it's funny because we all have different kind of paths that we're taking with it. Nate Garrison, he does the Extraordinary podcast. He's another guy that I stayed in good contact with. But mm-hmm. being able to see what different paths were going down. But one thing that you do is you have this humor that you can put into your podcast. You know, some of them are very serious. I have to say, you've had some very serious episodes that you've done. But the ones that are kind of more laid back, you make sure that you got that humor in there. How important is humor in your life?
Man, it's actually super important, and I actually feel guilty because most of my friends that know me, I think, thought that my show would be a lot funnier than it is, because, yeah, I do have some serious conversations. And I've done some comedy bits in the show. Like, in some of the older episodes, I tried to do even more of it. Like, I did a fake commercial for Thomas Bagels one time, which is just a brand of bagels at the grocery store that I like. But they won't pay me, so I had to do a fake one. But and I thought it was funny. I don't know if other people do or not, I guess. But anyway, I honestly would like to try and get more comedy into my show because I mean, that's my favorite activity in life is to laugh. I love it. I mean, I love hanging out with people and laughing about stuff. There's nothing like it. So
that's. I mean, I remember when we were sitting at PodFest, you had me cracking up one night when we were all just kind of hanging out. And, I mean, it was just you kept coming. You can come in and come in with these lines. I'm like, oh, my God. And that's part I was like, I know I need to be going to bed right now, but it was just too funny to kind of walk away from having a great time. And so that's – but I at the time, I didn't know that you did stand-up comedy.
Mm. Well, to be clear now, because that sounds like a better credential than it is, I've been paid one time for it. So the rest of the time, when I was 19, we had a comedy club here where I live, and I went and did an open mic night. And literally the first night I did it, after I got off stage, the guy who was hosting the show said, "Hey, I know you just started. I know this is your first night here, but I'm actually leaving for the summer," because he was a college kid. And he was like, "I'm actually leaving for the summer, and I need someone to host the show for me. And you should just do it. Like, you should be the host. And I know you're new, but just trust me, when you've got it, you've got it, you've got it, just do it. And so I was like, all right. And so I did, but I wasn't paid. I mean, the bar gave me free drinks, but I was 19, so I could just drink soda, you know, or water or something. It was dumb. But anyway, so I did that and enjoyed it and did it every week and did five shows a week. And
ooh.
Thursday and then two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. It was a lot of fun. But then my dad passed away, and like I said earlier, it just wrecked me. You know, I just didn't know what to do. So I stepped away from it, and then I went back to it. I mean, it was probably 10 years later when I went back to it and did the same thing. Went to an open mic, and they asked me if I wanted to host the show, and I said sure. So I did, and did that for a while, and I don't know. I at that time I went through to a few other comedy clubs, you know, just on different nights and would do sets. And I had this kind of naive movie idea in my head that like I would go on stage and that when I got off stage, I would be like, oh, that is my calling. Like, that's what I've been missing in my life. Like, I have to dedicate all of my life to this. And it just didn't resonate with me that way. I don't know if it's because I just got a little older or something, but I don't want to go hang out in bars all the time. You know, like I'm good. I don't want to. I don't know if you've ever been to an open mic night, but
no,
there are some bad acts. I don't want to sit there for 2 hours and listen to other people that I think suck, you know, and that's arrogant. I get that, but that's, you know, whatever. That's who I am. So anyway, I just say all that to other times I've done it, and I have a buddy who has a band, and he actually offered to have me open for them and paid me part of the, you know, cut or whatever that they got. And so I am technically a professional comedian because I was paid one time. I say all of that with a grain of salt, though. Again, like I just say that because I don't want it to come across like I'm like, oh, I'm a stand-up comic. Like, I'm not. Those guys work really hard. That's a hard world, and I didn't stick with it. So
you will never see me on stage trying to be, you know, funny. That won't happen. No, I can't do it, because I know even Joan Rivers, the late Joan Rivers, had said at one point that even she said times where she, even all her experience and all her years, where nobody laughed at her. You know, and it was like, well, so it doesn't matter how, you know, long you've been doing it. When it comes to that stand-up world, comedian world, you have those moments where, yeah, those jokes didn't go off so well. And so, but who is your favorite? Who's your favorite comedian?
Hands down, Dave Chappelle, no question.
Really?
Dave Chappelle is, oh, man, he is. And his, like the last special he did last fall, I think, called Sticks and Stones. I think it's his, you know, his magnum opus. I think it's his greatest work that he's ever done. I think it's brilliant. I've watched it, I don't know, several times. Dave Chappelle. It's crazy because for living in Springfield, Missouri, which again, probably no one that's listening has ever even heard of that as a town, I've actually seen Dave Chappelle live in Springfield twice. I saw him when I was in high school at the university that's here. And then I saw him probably 3 years ago. He came to the theater that we have, probably in preparation for his specials that he's doing for Netflix now. But yeah, I mean, man, just to be in the room and Dave Chappelle walks in. And again, I'm in a theater, so it's not like it's just me. But it's still like I can't get over the feeling of like he walks out and grabs the mic and starts talking. And it's like, I can't believe I'm in a room right now where Dave Chappelle is telling me jokes. Like, this is crazy. So yeah, Dave Chappelle, far and away favorite comedian.
What would you do if you could interview him on your show?
Oh, it would be so horrible because I would be so giddy and dorky. It would not be good. I mean, I would love it. I would jump at the chance, but it would be a terrible interview because I would just be gawking the whole time. I don't know. Cause anytime if I tried to be funny at all, I would worry then, like, am I just trying to be funny to try and impress him? Probably. And if he doesn't laugh, how do I deal with that? You know? So I don't know. It would be dorky cause I'd be too starstruck.
So
but if anyone knows him, you can send him my number.
I know. I'm like, if anyone knows Dave Chappelle, please contact Walker Near, The Walk Show, please.
Right, right. Well, and he should actually, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I should say, just in case there is an off chance, the video game podcast that I have, Pick Up Your Sticks, that name is a reference to the Chappelle Show. In the Chappelle Show, his skit show from Comedy Central from 2003 and 4, which is, in my opinion, the funniest TV show that's ever existed, he has a skit where he's like, he's playing himself, you know, Dave Chappelle, the celebrity, and he goes to a hospital to play video games, like Make-A-Wish Foundation, you know, for like a Make-A-Wish Foundation kid. So a kid who's like terminally ill. And he just talks crazy mess to this kid the entire time they're playing. Like, he's not nice at all. And, like, totally dominates the kid at this video game. And the kid, like, gets sad and throws his controller down. And Dave Chappelle yells at him, pick up your sticks. Because he's, the controller sticks is what he's referring to. So even the name of my other podcast is a direct reference to Dave Chappelle. I just had to say that.
So you are a true fan.
Oh, yeah. He's the best.
Well, I hope you do get to meet him in person. Not with the whole crowd one day. And if you do, you've got to let me know.
Oh, I will. Oh, I'll let a lot of people know, at least anyone who will listen.
So who then would you want to interview where you wouldn't be as giddy?
I mean, you know, I guess I don't know how high we're shooting here. I mean, my favorite author is probably Malcolm Gladwell. There's another guy named Michael Lewis who wrote like The Big Short and Moneyball and The Blind Side.
Books.
But those are all movies that are pretty popular. He's great. I might be able to interview them because while I'm huge fans of theirs and have watched some interviews, like, I don't know. The relationship with someone I think is different when you read. And it's probably even more intimate, honestly, but when you read them versus watching them on TV or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I would interview, I mean, honestly, I would interview anybody. And to be perfectly honest, if Dave Chappelle was really willing to be on my show, I would do it and I would try my best, you know what I mean? So I wouldn't turn it down. I would say my second favorite comedian is a guy named Nate Bargatze, who's not quite as on the level of Dave Chappelle, but he has his own Netflix special. So, I mean, he's not, you know, just a local comic or something. He's a nationally renowned comic, but he's also great, totally different from Dave Chappelle. There's no dirtiness to it at all. He doesn't curse at all. He doesn't tell – there's nothing crass about any of it. It's all incredibly clean, which isn't something that I seek out. I don't really care. But it's interesting how funny I think he is without anything he's talking about really being taboo, you know. But that would be really interesting. But honestly, I mean, as evidenced by the guests I have on my show, I just like to talk to interesting people. And they don't have to be – that's why it's hard for me to say, because any name I could come up with would just be a celebrity. But I don't actually care if you're a celebrity or not. Like, regular people have really, really interesting stories, and regular people are interested in fascinating things. And if you can just get them to open up about it, you can have great conversation and you can really glean cool information, but they don't have to be famous for that to be true, you know? So
I think it's easier for people to relate to someone who's closer to them. Like, you know, a lot of celebrities and stars and stuff seem unattainable. Like, we won't meet them. We won't, you know, really have a relationship with them or, you know, watch their lives except for what we see. We don't know what's really happening. But when we engage and hear stories of people who are more like us, you know, and stuff, we can relate better and be like, oh, wow, I can do this, or I can get myself through this, and you know, it just takes time. That's why, you know, those people who are not as famous are great to talk to and interview and, you know, talk about the walk of life. And when you, in terms of you, what's something that you want to do that you haven't done yet?
In life in general or in podcasting?
In life in general.
And this is a really trivial one, but you have to understand there is no NBA team in Missouri, which is, where I live and where I'm from.
Yes.
I would really like to go see an NBA game, but I don't want to be in the nosebleeds. I don't have to be front row, but I want to actually be able to – I want to be close enough that the size of the players and the speed of them is obvious. You know what I mean? Because when you watch it on TV, it's not obvious because they're
– Okay.
They're all moving that quickly. You know what I mean? Like, I would like to see LeBron James or Russell Westbrook or someone like that run full court and you know, I don't care if they dunk it, I guess, but whatever. Like, I would just like to see the athleticism of it. I played basketball my whole life as a kid, all the way through high school. So it's something I'm passionate about. So I'd like to go to an NBA game. I'd like to fly in a helicopter.
Oh, wow.
Never have done that. Although Kobe Bryant is another celebrity kind of idol of mine, and obviously he passed earlier this year in a helicopter, so kind of puts a little on that goal, but I would like to do that. Probably just travel more. I've lived here my whole life. My parents didn't really vacation when I was a kid, so it wasn't
mm-hmm.
traveling wasn't something I really did. And honestly, when I went to Orlando in PodFest 2019, that was the first time that I had traveled for pleasure exclusively on my own. Like, I had flown before to, like, to see a girlfriend or something, or I had, for work, I've traveled and been to different places for work. But it's just something I don't really even think about as, like, a thing to do, you know, to plan a trip. And yeah, going to Florida those two times that I've been there now, a really fun experience. So probably travel more is something I'd like to do and something that I don't currently do much of. So.
Well, you can take your podcast on the road. I love traveling. Take your podcast on the road. Because it's something you can do anywhere. And you could, knowing you, you would meet people and find people to interview that would have stories to share, which would be awesome. But NBA games, I've been to too many. And I feel the same way. I'd like to be up close. I went to a playoffs game one time where I was, like, right there in front. But I am, like, and it's like you said, it's a different feeling when you're there, and it's like you're into the game. And because I'm a big sports fan, I love my all Philly teams, though. I have to say, I am diehard Philly all the way, and most people know that. That is a very well-known fact. But my thing is, I've never been to a live hockey game. I want to go to a live hockey game.
Yeah, I've got a friend that lives in Denver, and he went and saw the Avalanche, I think, play, and he said it was great.
Yeah, they say it's different in person, so that's
mm-hmm.
one of my things is to go to the hockey game. You're not getting me in a helicopter, though. No.
Really?
No.
But do you get in planes?
Yes, that's different.
Okay. go ahead, sorry.
No, I say they shake different. Look at that little helicopter.
Yeah. So here's the thing that's funny about me, too, is I'm a pretty big scaredy cat of most things, right? But I actually do love, if this is really exactly what I'm trying to define, but like the sensation of speed, moving quickly. So like on an airplane, I actually like legitimately enjoy it when we take off. Like I like the feeling of like it pulling you back in your seat a little bit, you know? Much to my parents' chagrin, I got a motorcycle when I was 20. I can't believe that I walked away unscathed. Like it is so lucky that I walked away with no problem because I wasn't safe all the time. Case in point, I mean, me and my buddies, we used to have, there's a strip of road that we identified where there's no side streets and there's a median. So there's no place for cops to hide right on the side streets. And if they're going the opposite direction, they can't cross over because there's a big median in the middle of the road. And so we used to go on that strip of road and go 160 miles an hour, you know?
Whoa.
Right. And if you pass a cop, they're never going to catch you because you're doing 160, you know, and they're at like 30 or whatever. So I really liked that. And again, total luck that I'm able to have a conversation today and that I don't have disfigured limbs or something, because that is very dangerous. Yeah, it's crazy. But so I guess my point being, like, I think I would enjoy a helicopter. And honestly, I think I would probably like skydiving quite a bit.
Whoa.
Yeah, I just, that sense of speed has to be exhilarating, you know?
That you're coming down, like.
Yeah.
I'll wait at the bottom and wave at you.
Again, I'm a pretty big scaredy cat, so I talk a big game, but, you know, we'll see.
So what keeps you up at night? Like, what's that thing that weighs on your mind in life?
Probably, I mean, honestly, most just like, because I'm not married, I don't have children, so I live a very selfish life. So, probably in line with that selfishness, probably just like, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I living up to my own potential? You know. Are the decisions that I'm making the best decisions? And in the last year, which if you listen to especially some older episodes, but, you know, I talk a lot about personal development on my podcast, because it's something that I really dove into probably about, I don't know, 9 months ago now. I don't know. We'll say that. That's fine. I don't know exactly when it was, but whatever. Several months ago. And you know, I don't have a goal of, like, I'm going to run a marathon or I'm going to, I don't know. There's not some specific goal other than I just want to feel better generally. And of course, everyone's going to have moments of feeling depressed or moments of feeling anxiety or moments of whatever discomforting feeling there is. But so it's not that I think I'm going to eliminate that, because that's just, I think, part of being alive. But I at least want to be able to not feel like I'm, like, you know, for lack of a better term, like a slave to it, you know, like I want to be able to overcome it. I want to be able to, if I get upset about something, fine, but I don't want to be upset for a week, you know, or however long. And the personal development stuff I've dove into has really helped me with that. I still have bad days, or I still have times where I don't feel great, but I think consistently overall, I feel better generally. I work with a life coach myself at this point, who, it's so funny, like, and it, like, so here, I'm so rambly, I'm sorry.
You're fine.
Here's an example, though, of you don't know where podcasting will take you. So I have a podcast, and you don't, and here's the other thing, you never know who's listening and how it might resonate with them. So I'm doing these podcasts, and a lady I work with reaches out to me and is like, hey, I listened to some of your shows, which I don't promote my show at work because I swear on my show, and, you know, like, I don't know. I don't want to get fired. So whatever. But I was really surprised that she knew about it. First off, she was like, hey, I listened to your show. I really like the work that you're doing. And I actually am also, kind of as a startup business, I'm learning to be a life coach, and I'm working with people, and, I think a lot of the stuff you're talking about is really interesting because it kind of aligns with a lot of the stuff I'm learning about. Well, so I invited her on my show because, case in point, that's an interesting story. She's not famous. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I have her on, and then she has a coach that she works with. Well, that lady reached out to our mutual contact and said, hey, do you think Walker would be interested in having me on his show? And so I did, and her name's Ashley Thomas. I had her on the show, we interviewed, and then, I don't know, within a week or so, she hit me up and was like, hey, just based on some of the stuff we've talked about, I think maybe I could help you out. Would you be interested in maybe having just a quick phone call to just kind of see you know, where we're at. And I was like, yeah, that sounds good. And yeah, it fit perfectly. And that's been such a wonderful experience. Like, the experience of having a coach is so much better than I ever thought it would be, right? Like, I was so timid about it. And now, honestly, like, I can't, I mean, I'll be sad if she stops, you know what I mean? Because she's great, and it's so valuable to be able to talk to her and get her insights and her ideas. And honestly, again, back to the selfish theme, which we keep coming back to, or at least I keep coming back to with me. Honestly, what it is, like, what a coach is, or even, you know, I've seen a therapist, like a psychologist before as well. The thing that you really get, to me at least, the value that you get out of that, man, I feel like this sounds so selfish, but I don't mean it this way. But anyway, is that you get to talk about whatever it is that you have on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's that person's profession, right, the coach's profession, it's not a two-way street. Like, they will just talk to you the entire time about whatever it is that's on your mind, and you don't then have to reciprocate that and go, well, what's on your mind? Well, what problem can I help you overcome? And not that I mean that that's like a burden or something in normal relationships. It's just that you get to really concentrate, I guess, is maybe the best way to put it, on whatever issue you're having, and there's no – you're not being a bad friend because you just talked about yourself for, you know, the hour or whatever it was. That's the whole idea. And yeah, I don't know. There's just tremendous value in it.
I love that explanation of coaching because, you know, I am a coach.
Yes.
And you described it perfectly. It is an opportunity because it shouldn't be about the coach's agenda. It's strictly about you. And
yes.
We just did an episode where we kind of talked about coaching and is it effective? And you're kind of just reiterating what was talked about, is that it is effective. It has a purpose, much different than a therapist, and it adds value. And that's awesome. So you kind of hear in my industry to hear things like that, that yes, you know, here's a plus vote for it, that thumbs up. If you were to say, what have you learned from podcasting and the things that you've been doing?
Oh man, I mean, I've learned infinite. I mean, that's so hard to say
just
one
say
thing.
I was gonna say one thing, and it's like that's hard.
Right, right. Well, and I say that just because again, I've had such a variety of people. So I would say here's a single thing that I've learned that has nothing to do with my guests, and it's something that I mentioned earlier. I've learned that having a creative outlet is, I think, critical to a healthy human experience. And it doesn't mean that you have to create something that changes the world. And it doesn't mean that it has to be the most monumentous thing ever. There's just something about finding something that you can put yourself into and that you can put your own spin on and that you can make how you want to make it. I don't think I finished the sentence I started earlier, which welcome to the walk show. The creativity of it is just so important. And just doing something that is for you and that you feel happy about. And honestly, clearly I don't give a middle finger to my audience. I can't appreciate enough when people listen to my show, and especially if people reach out to me and comment on it. I just fall all over myself with how happy I am. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I've had people tell me, like, hey, you know, I think maybe you should try and do 30-minute episodes. And it's like, hey, maybe you should just go find a podcast that's 30 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, because
yeah.
It's not this one. And I don't mean that flippantly, but I also mean it like I'm not trying to make another box in the row of boxes. Like, we've already got plenty of those. I mean, it's one of the reasons, which some people might think I'm I'm dishonest on this, but I don't talk about a lot of politics on my podcast, or at least
mm-mm.
I try not to.
I don't either.
But I have political opinions, right? It's not because I don't have thoughts about it. But there are so many political podcasts, and honestly, I have opinions because I'm a person, but I'm not researching that stuff all the time. So what am I really going to offer? You know, like, what am I going to say? What insight am I going to have that's not actually me just regurgitating someone else's insight? So I don't know. I think that the biggest lesson I've learned and the biggest thing I could promote to other people would be just try something creative. And, you know, the book that they gave away at PodFest this year is called Start Ugly. Mm-hmm. Man, there couldn't be better advice than that. Like, stop worrying about what might happen. Just go for it. Because really here's the actual worst case scenario that could happen is no one cares. That's as bad as it gets. And guess what? If you're not putting anything out there for anyone else right now, guess what's already true today? No one cares.
No one cares.
So it's fine. Like, you're already living in that life and you're doing great. So just go for it. And when they don't care, you don't care. And then you just keep going. And I don't know. There's just something really enriching about that creative process. That again is entirely, you know, selfish, for lack of a better word.
Well, unfortunately, we are down to the last literally 2 minutes of the show. And so as we close, I want to make sure, if you can do it in 30 seconds, where can people go to listen to either of your shows and where you want them to connect with you on social media?
So for The Walk Show, you can go to thewalkshowpodcast.com, the website that has all of the episodes on it. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at The Walk Show Pod, and then Pick Up Your Sticks doesn't have its own website in the same way. The easiest way to find that, though, is just PUYS, which is the acronym for Pick Up Your Sticks, PUYS Pod. That's our Twitter handle. We announce whenever shows come out. We actually live stream the recording of those shows.
Oh, wow.
So if you want to check that out on Twitch, a gaming platform, you can do that. But PUYS or Pick Up Your Sticks, or you can also email us at pickupyourstickspodcast@gmail.com or Walker at the Walk Show Podcast if you wanted to reach out to me directly. The reason I keep saying we, by the way, with the other show is I co-host it, like I said earlier, with another guy. So
awesome. Well, Walker, I thank you so much for being here and joining us on Let's Coach with Carolyn. I hope that you will come back and that you will join us again. For our listeners, thank you so much. And thank you for joining another episode of Let's Coach with Carolyn. And I want you guys to remember, it's all about success on your own terms. Thank you again, Walker. And until next time, everyone have an awesome, blessed week. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.